world of so-called Christianity, people put gospels out, and most of them end in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and we have seen that that is not the gospel today. And the real gospel is found in Romans chapter 3, verse 24 through 26. That's the gospel details of what God tells lost people to do in the dispensation of grace currently. But there are a group of people out there who do not use Romans 10, nor do they use Romans 3. They use 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. Now listen, the biggest blunder that real believers make when they talk to lost people is they forget they're talking to lost people. And they always try to teach the gospel to these lost people by using 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And they forget that the Apostle Paul was not speaking to lost people when he wrote that. Now, when he wrote his epistle to the Romans, they were saved too, but Paul is telling them his gospel. He had not been to Rome, so he writes out his gospel of grace that he was preaching among the Gentiles. And that's why we get Romans chapter 3. So let's take a look at Romans 3 and compare the doctrine with 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, and you will see clearly that the Apostle Paul did not preach that gospel to lost people. Rather, he was reviewing with already saved people who he had taught Romans truth unto details of his gospel, which means glad tidings of good things. Romans chapter 3, verse 24, 25, and 26 says, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood." Right there we hear the glad tidings that God gives us concerning his son. God tells us that he will justify freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Any lost person, when they understand these details of the gospel that God tells about his son, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. God sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ to be sin for us, tells the whole world that he believes in the blood of Christ. God believes in the blood of Christ as payment for the sins of the lost. And a wise person would believe what God believes. Once that gospel message about Christ is believed, God tells them in verse 26 what to do to be justified. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You believe in Jesus after having faith in his blood, and God uses Abraham to teach us how to believe. In Romans 4:21, he sums it up, says, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So God Almighty uses Abraham to teach you that belief means to be fully persuaded, no doubt, and that God will do what he said he would do. Now that's the glad tidings of good things. Now that is for our justification, the first four chapters of Romans. Now, chapter 5 in Romans forward, Paul starts talking to us as believers who are justified, starts teaching us service issues. That's how to live, your sanctification, how to start living as a believer. Go with me now to 1 Corinthians 15. Many people out there, some of them are even saved, use 1 Corinthians chapter 15, now listen to me, when they talk to lost people. You do not use 1 Corinthians 15 when you're talking to a lost person. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Now remember, need I show you this? Go with me to the book of Acts. Let's show you when Paul was at Corinth, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter, I'm sorry, Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, verse 1, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So Paul gets into Corinth. Now look at verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Paul gets to Corinth and stays there for a year and a half, a year and 6 months, teaching the book to them. Now, when he writes his epistle to them, he had already been there, taught them for a year and a half, and then he leaves. And then he finds out that there's a whole bunch of problems at Corinth, not in their salvation understanding. They weren't like the churches of Galatia, rather in their living. If you'll go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul confirms with them their testimony. 1 Corinthians 1:4, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance," that's what they were saying, "and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you." So Paul confirms, because of what they uttered, because of what they knew and what they understood, confirms their testimony in Christ. That means they had no problem understanding the first four chapters of the book of Romans. They were clearly believing in Jesus, had faith in his blood, fully persuaded. So their problem at Corinth was not justification in the eyes of God. That's why the testimony of Christ was confirmed in them. Their problem, if you'll see in verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you." There's divisions among them. Chapter 5, he says, "It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you." So there's fornication among them, and they weren't even kicking the guy out. Chapter 6, verse 6, "But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers." They're doing that. They're suing each other in court. Chapter 7, he gives them instructions about marriage, being unmarried, and virgins, and instructions for married couples. Other instructions, they're all having to do with earthly. Chapter 8, he tells them things regarding the weak brother doctrine, emphasizing Romans 14 truth. Chapter 9, he talks to them regarding giving to the ministry. And he goes on, chapter 11, they're messing up the Lord's Supper. Chapter 12, they're messing up the sign gifts. So there was tremendous carnality in the church of God at Corinth. So when Paul gets to chapter 15, he's not talking to them, giving them a gospel message that they are to go out and take to the lost. You see, because so many preachers, teachers, I'm talking about really saved people now, do not understand that God has an establishment commandment on how to read his book, you don't know the first thing about how to deal with lost people. You just go and tell lost people Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Let's take a look at that and see that that is not how the Apostle Paul told lost people to get saved. You see, your biggest blunder as a real believer is when you talk to lost people, you forget you're talking to lost people, and the gospel tract that God wrote is the first four chapters of Romans. Now, the problem at Corinth was not their justification. It had nothing to do with it. The problem at Corinth had to do with their service. Their service as believers. Their walk in the Lord. Their sanctification as believers. Okay? Now look at what Paul wrote to them as believers. He says in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians 15, Moreover, brethren, right there tells you that he's writing to his fellow saved members of the body of Christ. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Now think for a moment. The gospel Paul preached to the church of God at Corinth when he was with them was not just the first four chapters of Romans. The word gospel, if you get a knee-jerk reaction and think, oh, when I hear gospel, that's always what we tell lost people. You are so wrong. Gospel is defined for you in Romans chapter 10 as glad tidings of good things. Now, after Paul tells us how to be justified in the eyes of God in the first four chapters of Romans, his gospel tidings, his gospel message continues talking to you as believers. Is it not glad tidings of good things, and that's what gospel means, to the believer? That when we see in Romans 5 that there's now peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Sure. Is it not glad tidings in Romans 5 that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, that we now stand in doctrines of grace? Yes, it is. Is it not glad tidings that God tells a new believer to glory in their tribulations, understanding what tribulation will work in their life? Yes. Is it not glad tidings of good things? We find out that when we were ungodly, Christ died for the ungodly, and that was testified in due time by Paul in Romans 5:6. Yes. Is it not glad tidings in Romans 5:8? But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It is sure glad tidings. Is it not glad tidings that much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him? Yes, it is. Is it not glad tidings that God tells us in Romans chapter 5, 6 times, that the gift of eternal life, the gift of righteousness, this gift by grace, he tells us 6 times, it's a gift. Yes, it is glad tidings. Is it not glad tidings in Romans chapter 6? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? That you have been crucified with Christ. Your old man is crucified with him. You're dead with Christ. Crucified with him. Buried with him. Raised with him so that you can walk in newness of life. Is it not glad tidings in Romans 6 that we neither yield ye your members unto sin? We don't yield our members, our body parts anymore unto sin, but we yield them unto God. Isn't that glad tidings that we're dead to sin? That when we believe this form of doctrine, being then made free from sin? Sure it is. Is it not glad tidings that we're dead to the law in Romans chapter 7? Is it not glad tidings that as Paul struggled with sin, forgetting he was dead, that he understands that at the end of chapter 7 he emerges victorious, not like all of the preachers who would have you live in Romans 7, sinning every day. Paul emerged victorious, sin-free in his members, when he understood that this victory, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, that old way of thinking, you're going to serve the law of sin. Is it not glad tidings all through Romans chapter 8, that now there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit? And God gives us so much wonderful, victorious doctrine in Romans chapter 8. For the believer, how to live sin-free and to be more than a conqueror, and all these other doctrines there. Yes, it is. So Paul's gospel of glad tidings continues after the first four chapters with regards to justification only as the first four chapters. He then continues in his gospel with glad tidings for our service. You see, you're saved from the penalty of sin in the first four chapters, and then from Romans 5 on, you're saved from the power of sin in the details of your life. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes to the believers at Corinth, who he had taught all of Romans' truth unto when he was there. He writes, moreover, brethren. So when he says that, you should get a big red flag there. If he's saying this to the brothers, okay, to his brethren, his saved fellow brothers in the body of Christ, wait a minute, why am I then saying this to a lost man? No, the first four chapters of Romans are to the lost, and I remind you, listen diligently, the Corinthians' problem was not justification.
In verse 2 of chapter 1, he says, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. He then, as we just read, says their testimony of Christ was confirmed because of what they were uttering and what they knew. It was all clearly confirmed that they were saved people. So watch what he tells the church of God at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, remembering that their whole problem was their life and how they were living. It was their not walking in the gospel glad tidings for their service being dead to sin, knowing they were dead with Christ, buried with him, raised with him to newness of life. They were not doing that. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. It is glad tidings of good things, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Listen, when you see the word saved, talking to saved people, not only are they saved from the penalty of sin, okay? Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, Romans 5, 9. We're also saved from the power of sin in the details of life as believers, by which also ye are saved. Look at this. If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. They believed their justification. He confirmed that with them. Now, if you forget Paul's gospel when it comes to your justification, when it comes to being justified, if you don't keep in memory what Paul preached, your time past belief is in vain. If you forget, listen, when it comes to Paul's gospel in the glad tidings of good things from Romans 5 forward in your service about being dead with Christ, buried with him, risen with him, you will not have, then your time past belief is in vain and your service will reflect that. I say again, if you do not keep in memory what Paul preached regarding the death, the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you do not keep that in your memory as a believer, you will be a perfect, functioning, carnal Corinthian. Perfect. You'll be just like them. You'll be carnal, as Paul called them in chapter 3. He could not speak unto them as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, but they're still in Christ. Okay? So if you do not keep that in memory, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can forget about it when it comes to your service. And if you do not keep what Paul preached, they kept in memory what he preached regarding the first four chapters, justification. He says their testimony of Christ was confirmed in chapter 1. What they uttered and what they knew. They were believing in Jesus, having faith in his blood, fully persuaded. That's why he calls them the church of God at Corinth. Their testimony, what they believed, was confirmed. But their service was screwed up. They were not believing. They were not functioning. They were not keeping in memory at all Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You see?